So the last couple of times, we were working as becoming the Bindu, which is how you gather yourself and be central to the teachings. And then we worked with discovering the hookum, which is what is it that you need to do here? And we contemplate that. And whatever the answer comes up, we contemplate that and keep doing that until there's no more change. Did you want to say something?
A question about that. So what we have to do here in terms of working with a patient, or what we have to do here in terms of life?
Yes.
Okay.
And particularly it's useful for teaching. But it's good for healing too. You see, you could approach something and say, oh, I know what's wrong with you, I'm going to fix you. But that's something that's initially possibly coming from you.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a filter on it, and it has some bias or prejudice, inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to do is lose our bias and prejudice. So that if there's an answer, or if there's an approach, or anything to do, it comes from, in the case of healing, the patient, or it comes from the class, if you're teaching. So what we'll do this time is just work on discovering the meridians. And as a healer, we do that with the patient. And that's just something that comes to us in our perceptive field. What are the tendencies that appear in the field? And then as a teacher, the tendencies that appear in the group, in your field still. And the process essentially is not different. Of course, you're aware that you're either dealing with a group or you're dealing with the target of your healing, but you can approach it the same way. Okay, so let's start with a meditation. Right hand is palm up, left hand is palm down. Eyes are looking at the tip of your nose. Inhale deeply through the nose. And exhale through the mouth. Deeply. Inhale. Exhale. And continue that. Deliberately, as if you're intending to breathe, not automatically. This meditation affects the way that you interrelate as you relate with people, as you relate with a patient or class, students. You can be very relaxed in that relation. Just let it flow. No pressure. The mind is very relaxed. No need to try to use the mind for anything. There's no need for thinking, analyzing. Just keep allowing the flow. Inhale deeply, hold it, place your hands on the heart and press very tightly. Squeeze the whole spine, squeeze the breath. Press, push, squeeze. Exhale. Inhale again. Squeeze. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Relax. The response that we perceive that comes from the other, whether it's a patient or the group, is important in keeping the, you could say, conversation going. But it could be conversation in a very subtle way. Actually, when we're healing, largely what we involve in that is the subtle body. And so it's kind of subtle. And we're not necessarily looking to provoke or to overstimulate something and produce something that's a reaction, but rather it's useful to look for an opening. Have you ever heard or seen a master interviewer interview somebody and take charge of that relation? What do? They make the person very comfortable. They find some place where that person wants to go to, and then they let the person just take it away for a little while. And then all the interviewer is doing is kind of guiding it in a way, like, okay, let's try going here next, because it seems like you're also open to this or you want to go here. And it's not that different when you're doing healing. You're guiding the relation, guiding the interaction. And it's really most useful to always go towards the opening, where the other is willing or wants to go. How something wants to change rather than trying to push it. I know it's easy to know what's the problem here, but that doesn't mean that it can be fixed in a simplistic way. So it requires some perhaps iteration in that. And that's why we contemplate and then we recontemplate. See what comes from that. And then it somehow suggests something a little different, but something that takes you more towards another opening where the other can really open and allow a flow to start happening, which was constricted, preventing whatever needed to happen so that they were healthy or they were healed. And same is true for a group, if you're addressing the group. If you ever see a motivational speaker, they don't do it too differently. They kind of know where the buttons are, maybe already, or they kind of know the group in some way. And so they know where these places are that they're willing to look at, and feels good to go there. And in the end, you have them dancing. It's just an amazing phenomenon for somebody who's really good at it. Has anybody ever heard a motivational speaker speak to a group? And you end up and you go, wow, what happened? What was that? how did he do that? So let's do another exercise, another meditation that will tune us in to know the psyche of the other. And that's an important thing. And so it's simply we just take the left thumb and we hold it with the right hand. Place it on the lap. Close the eyes. And then we can start by placing our eyes in the direction of the tip of the nose. But relax the mind. Don't keep it in a rigid place or configuration. Let what you are looking at in the mind's eye be flexible. And then what we'll do is imagine that the nose, and are looking at the tip of the nose, is beginning to invert itself so that the tip of the nose is turning over, rotating, so that the tip then will be facing upwards at the bridge of the nose instead of the tip of the nose. So what was the bridge is now the tip, and the tip is now the bridge. Does that make sense?
Will you repeat that?
Allow the nose to invert. And we're going to keep the eyes at the tip of the nose, but now that means that you're kind of looking up, because the nose is upside down now. You don't have to struggle with it, just suggest that that's the case. Because we're just imagining that that is the case, and let it happen. And then, with this new inverted nose, let's project the mantra silently in the mind, sa-ta-na-ma, and project that mantra from the new tip of the nose, which is now upside down. And then just continue to do that. It's okay if it's not real clear. Don't struggle with it. Let the mind relax. Because really we're just assuming that the nose is pointing in the opposite direction. Feel what that is producing inside you with that assumption. How that feels. Let it play with your thoughts and your emotions. relax the mind. inhale and hold it for a moment. And exhale. Relax. Doing that, there seems to be some sensation of like movement or going through something. It's like you're discovering new territory. Mm-hmm. If you were interviewing your patient, you could keep asking interesting questions. Questions that they might find interesting, and you would certainly find interesting when they answer it. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll practice, keep the conversation going. So, find partners. I found myself spending some time with genetic relatives over the holiday at some family gatherings. And there were some people that I had never really spoken with before. A couple of youngsters. Mm-hmm. Actually, I had spoken a couple times, but it wasn't a real comfortable situation. Whereas this time it seemed like, well, you know, what do, you know, I started to interview two like nephews and asked them some questions that I found interesting in a way that I was hoping they would find interesting. Mm-hmm. Something to explore. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you think about this? Well, why do you think young people do this? Because they're young people, they're very young. Mm-hmm. And they were very forthcoming. They embellished their answers very nicely, which led to some interesting scenery, you know, in the conversation, which you could put your attention to and then ask further about, you know. They opened up like I'd never seen them do that before. And we were able to keep that going for maybe an hour, which was very interesting. Also, there was another guy who's not really a genetic relative, really an old guy. I don't know, he looks like he must be 80-something or 90. And then something came up, and I happen to remember meeting this guy before, maybe 10 years ago, and remembering that he used to work for the LA Department of Water and Power. So something came up where I was able to mention something to him about solar power. That's probably not something he had worked too much with because he'd long since retired. It was mm-hmm. before all of that. Mm-hmm. But I brought it up to him, and I showed him an app that showed the flow of solar power and batteries and power grid, a flow. And he found that so fascinating. Mm-hmm. And it opened up a whole part of his life that he thought was over. And started to go there And we had this beautiful conversation about all of this for about another hour.
Wow. Yeah. That's nice.
So he volunteered to fix my son's dryer because it was broken. Please have him call me. I can fix anything.
Oh, wow.
And then I brought up, what would I have to do to bring electrical power from my house to my garage? Mm. And he said, oh, that's easy. That's no problem, man. Give me a call. We'll do it. Yeah. Mm. Made me wonder, well, what if he has to get up on a ladder or something, you know?
Let him do it.
So, you know, we'll just see where that goes. I don't know.
Yeah, all these treasures waiting to be tapped.
Yeah. These people were very willing to open up not just their expression, but placing their mind in a place that really is stimulating to them. Yeah. So I think it's doing that sort of thing is a good opportunity in healing. Okay, so how about let's just try something. Let's have the healers just ask a very simple question of the patient. Doesn't matter what it's about, just a simple question. And then let's just have the patient say something. It could be a direct answer or not, or relevant or not, but just to get the thing going, okay? And it doesn't have to be personal. Just, well, how about the, you know, how about them Rams or something, you know, anything, you know, football.
Like, can I ask, like, do you want me to work on anything? Or?
Yeah, if you want, whatever you feel like, you know. What did you do today? What happened? What happened over the new year? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Something. Okay. I think that's on.
It's on.
Yeah.
It is.
It's pretty warm in here.
You're warm. I'm very warm over there.
Okay. Well then, close your. Take your partner. Close your eyes. And then, just direct your attention to whatever comes up in your perceptive field. Allow it to be fluid and flexible. Keep redirecting your attention towards whatever appears to be some opening in your perceptive field. Something that doesn't resist your attention. you're moving your attention. Feel how that stimulates your field in you. And follow that by following some path for your attention that is inviting to follow. A path with no resistance. It's more empty, more open. And feel what's newly stimulated. Recognize that you and your partner have no separation. So there's no need to question where anything is coming from. Just keep following your attention down a path of less resistance. if you find an open path through the sensations in your kidneys, then go through the kidneys. If you find an open path in your visual field, go there. Okay, and switch with your partner. Pick your partner. And ask your partner a question. Just clarify that in your space. Give your attention to where there's some opening, where there's least resistance. Keep modifying your attention where the space with your partner doesn't resist it. As complex a sensation as it wants to be. Pick some point in your field where you can go through it. Now pick some point of stimulation in your field which has some resistance. And then see if you can discern a direction to it. And meet that point with your attention. Exactly at a right angle. So it's your attention is appearing perpendicular. And as you do that, just feel how it feels. Feel how that opens up new sensations. New stimulation in your field. But now we'll practice just moving perpendicular, moving your attention perpendicular, rather than in the direction of flow, and not against the flow. allowing your attention to move to new points of stimulation, new points of intensity. Mm-hmm. At right angles to the direction of flow. Okay, come to conclusion. Switch with your partner. So with the first exercise, we were sensing a direction, going in the direction of the flow and just opening it and making it bigger. In the second instance, we're perceiving a direction and then going perpendicular, which could have the effect of redirecting it somewhat. Not just opening it, but redirecting. And there tends to be very little resistance if you go perpendicular to something.
No resistance?
Yeah. You find that out in martial arts, where you just don't get in the way of somebody's linear attack. You go perpendicular to it, and there's very little resistance to doing that. You can redirect. If you turn a line with a lot of force, more like into a circle. It may seem obvious that if someone's coming at you with very great momentum, you could just shove them aside. Don't meet the power. Go sideways. Okay. Take your partner. Let's just give attention to any points of stimulation that come up, that happen, relating with your partner. Give your attention to where it appears more open. Sense a direction to that point of stimulation. And then what you'll do with your intention is to approach it at a right angle. At a right angle to the direction of the opening. tuned into how it feels. With any given approach. Okay, come to conclusion. Okay, so are there any questions or comments? Very often we work without any sort of reference. We kind of like to give up all of our preferential references to things. the way that we think things work. But just simply adding something simple, some kind of construct, that sometimes can help. Because then everything in the system of the space will somehow adapt to whatever you've introduced to it. And then you can make further adjustments. That's also the principle of how you use forms. You add something to the space and see how the whole system reacts or responds or adjusts to it. And didn't exactly use it in the very literal sense that we often do. But everything that you perceive in your awareness is valid. You don't have to question it. Just experience it. And I think it's kind of important just to see how it feels every moment as you relate with it and how you modify how you relate. So we don't need any external references, any references that we added were just internal references. It had no sense outside of that relation, outside of that space. So we don't need to try to make sense of any of it outside of that space. Let everything happen in the space, and then maybe it makes sense and maybe it doesn't. But going out of that space, forget it. There is no sense. Now, how do you know when something is happening? More or less just how it feels. Was that good? Or was that weird? Or like, did it cause something to break or dissociate? Or did something move in a direction that felt pretty good? I wouldn't say that we're exactly blind doing things with our attention and relating with it in different ways. We're essentially just using our intuition. What is it that seems useful? How to place our attention someplace? And what attributes does that take on that you can relate to? We were experimenting with an attribute of taking on a direction. If we always go towards what's open, more open, then we're going in the direction of that. If we accept that and allow that and go in some fictitious direction that's perpendicular to that, that should have a different effect. Sometimes things are just stuck and you just want to open it up. Sometimes things are just wrong and you want to alter a direction or somehow modify it. Okay, so anyway, don't think too much about it. I recommend those meditations. They're pretty good.
Was that the faculty, right?
Yeah.
And faculty of the hands and the heart.
Engagement. Faculty of engagement.
Do you do it like this or like this?
No, like this.
Yeah, it was like this in the end. I think it was like that.
Yeah, the end.
That's how I read it.
And then this.
I'll read it again and see if I was right. Since you brought it up.
Like this?
And
it was like this.
This and this.
Oh, yeah, we didn't do it that way, but maybe that's how it was prescribed.
Yeah,
because
I remember
there was a Okay, you're right. That's good. Go look on my website.
Okay. Is that right?
It was this and then this.
Oh, I missed that.
Well, I did too. This and then this.
I think so. I for some reason thought it was like this, that's for sure.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's okay.
Sometimes
I think
we did it that way. And that other one's pretty useful too. And I kind of noticed that, you know, when we were doing these other exercises, you know, the space of where your nose was up here, we never really left that space.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
That stayed very nice and stable.
This is to be able to tap into other people's psyche.
Yeah, yeah. You
what do you mean we never left which space?
That space persisted throughout our exercises.
Oh, I see. All
right?
Yes,
it was like it was always there. And you didn't have to try to go back to it because
it just stabilized.
We stabilized it when we did that meditation.
Which thumb is holding the left thumb?
The left thumb held by the right hand.
And that one is called what?
Left thumb.
Knowing the psyche of the other, or experiencing the psyche of the other. I'll post something that explains where to look for that, and I'll put a link to it. Okay, I guess we've run out. Let's finish. Sun.